The Epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 7, reading from verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Turn back, please, to the Gospel according to John and chapter 17, the chapter from which our brother Alan spoke and ministered to us yesterday. John's Gospel, chapter 17, reading from verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The Lord will bless his word to us. In the Gospel according to John, from chapter 12 to 17, we have what is called the upper room ministry or discourses of the Lord Jesus. And before going to the cross, the Lord Jesus was preparing his disciples for those things which were to come. And so he was seeking to spiritually prepare them and give them that strength for the exercise before them. And having brought to them different teachings relative to the coming of the Holy Spirit and his own sufferings, here we come to chapter 17, where he is speaking to the Father. I want us to take verse 1 as a summary of the whole chapter, for I feel that in this verse we have the basis of the teaching brought before us. And I have only time to give you an outline of some of the blessings the Lord has been bringing to myself. And so as we think of this as the intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus, certainly there are many lessons for us today. And we can think of the present ministry of the Lord Jesus as the great high priest, as the advocate, as the one who is interceding with the Father. And we can apply some of the principles of this chapter to our Lord's present ministry. We think of the division we have in this chapter 1. He lifted up his eyes to heaven. Here we have the place from which he prayed. And as we reminded yesterday, we have the word world brought before us at least 19 times in this chapter. And Mr. Allen yesterday brought these before us. I'm not going to repeat what he has said, only to outline the grouping of this world, the cosmos of God. Verses 5 and 24, we have before the foundation of the world, reminding us of his pre-creation glory and his love. In verses 11 and 12, we have in the world, reminding us of the incarnation, the subject of our brother's remarks yesterday and teaching. Verses 15, 18, and 23 sent into the world, there we have the commission of God. And verse 13, he spake in the world, the place of his revelation. Verse 14, hated by the world, and here we have his rejection. 6:14, 16, not of the world, reminding us of the outline of a separation unto God. And in verses 21, 23, we have that the world might believe that confirmation which is so necessary. And so we have the place from which he prayed. Secondly, the use of the word Father would remind us of the person who was addressed, the person to whom he spoke. And here in this chapter 17, on six occasions, we have the word Father brought before us. Here in verse 1, Father, the hour is come. And this is linked with glorification. In verse 5, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before the foundation of the world, the revelation, and that pre-creation glory which we have in other places. Verse 11, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Here we have the thought of preservation. In verse 21, we have these lovely words, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Here we have the great thought of unification in that word one. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Here we have the great consummation which lies before us, that wonderful day when we will be with him and see his glory. But finally, in verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Oh, the perfection that is brought before us, perfection of knowledge, and what a wonderful challenge and message that is to us. But he said, Father, the hour is come. The hour is come. I want you to think for a moment of the precision of the time involved. And here in this chapter 17, we have the use of the word hour, that word which the Apostle Paul uses and others use, and the Apostle John used it so much and so many times in his Gospel. We can group together into a sevenfold study the use of the word are in the Gospel according to John. In chapter 2 and verse 4, the hour had not come. In chapter 7 and 30, no man could lay hands upon him. His hour had not yet come. In 8 and 20, again, his hour had not yet come. There seemed to be a restriction, a restraining. His time, the precise time, had not yet arrived. And in chapter 6 and 32, we have the thought of you will be scattered. The hour will come when you will be scattered and I will be left alone. There we have the hour of his rejection. In chapter 12 and 27, Father, save me from this hour. And knowing that his hour was come, and then there was the voice from heaven, the great thought of the crucifixion, the Easter message, Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. In chapter 5, 25 and 28, all that are in the graves will hear his voice, and that will be an hour of resurrection. In chapter 12 and 23, we have the hour is come that the Son should be glorified. Here also in our chapter, in verse 1, we have that thought of glorification. And in chapter 4, verses 21 and 23, the hour cometh and now is, the reference to worship. Worship which will not be directed to Jerusalem, not the place, but rather the person and that hour of worship and adoration. Chapter 4 again, 52-53, there was that performing of the miracle, and the fever left that sick man on the seventh hour. The fever left him. The restoration, perhaps a picture of what will yet happen to Israel as a nation. But what is before my mind for the next 5 minutes would be the petitions which the Lord Jesus requested. And in reading through this chapter, we are challenged by what the Lord Jesus said to the Father in prayer. And I wonder if the Lord Jesus, at this present moment, would be using these breathings in his intercessory work. We notice in verses 11 and 15, Holy Father, keep. Here is that word, keep, and we have beside it almost the contrast. One is lost, the son of perdition. And I feel the Lord Jesus in this prayer with the Father has before him the tremendous weight and thought and teaching of security. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Here we have the thought of being preserved, being kept. There was one among the 11, Peter, and he was one who denied the Lord Jesus. But he was kept. You remember the Lord said to him on one occasion, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, but I have prayed for thee. I wonder in this audience this morning, this afternoon, is there someone who has been like Peter following afar off? Do remember the present ministry of the Lord Jesus in heaven is that we might be kept. Kept by the power of God. And the connection of the keeping is in the name. I must leave it with you. One is lost, not isolated. He is still there. He went to his own place. It was prophesied, of course, beforehand. But that does not do away with his human responsibility. Judas, made his choice, lost. We have that word in John 3:16, perish, and in 2 Corinthians 4, presently perishing. Then secondly, in verse 17, as yesterday we were reminded, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we have this setting apart by God. It is now 45 years ago this Easter when I sat in the Grosvenor Hall up in the balcony as a teenager, rebellious against the things of God. But the servants of God, they brought that message of deliverance, of restoration. And I was brought to that place where I considered that I was set apart by God. How wonderful it was to follow his word. And so we have the thought of sanctity and being set apart. The Lord Jesus, that illustration we have of him in verse 19, that he sanctified himself, set himself apart. There is that judicial setting apart, but there is that setting apart which should be our experience. Verse 11 and verse 20 and so on, we have the word one, which brings to us the thought of solidarity, being one, not being divided, being together. I've just come from Russia. I've seen the believers there. I've seen that oneness and have felt the warmth of unity among them because of the awful persecution which has been known. Then in verses 24 to 26, the word is glory. We think of the sovereignty. So we take these four words and apply them to the present ministry of the Lord Jesus. Security, sanctity, solidarity, and sovereignty. And he stood and lifted up his eyes unto heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son.